Hello and welcome, everyone. I am Rebecca Mathias, Intuitive Business Success Coach, and you are listening to the Legendary Leadership Radio Show, where women in business from all over the globe gather each week to come together and get accountability and guidance to get more done in a feminine way. You truly are the pioneers that are leading the way on a new path of getting it done like a woman, where you get success, accomplishment, increased self-confidence, and project completion. It is your time to take a stand and step into your own greater levels of success and accomplishment. And as always, I am so excited to be here with you today. I started this weekly show to support you, motivate you, and coach you on what actions and mindset you need in order to create the success you deserve so you can live your best life, inspiring and empowering others. These shows are a way for me to give back, and they speak most near and dear to my passion of supporting and empowering women making a difference in the world through their business. You can learn more about working with me at Rebecca Mathias and join our Legendary Leadership Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/legendaryleadership. And our intro music is called Be the Change by award-winning singer-songwriter Bob Sima. And you can find out more about Bob and his music at bobsima.com. That's S-I-M-A. And he has a new CD out that I just received yesterday, and it is amazing. So welcome to the call today, everyone. We have a pretty juicy topic that it can tend to be an ongoing thing where most people are like, you know, how am I going to ever end the procrastination and get more things done in this never-ending to-do list? So I'm really excited to bring you this topic today, how to go from procrastination to project completion. And really and truly, the purpose of this is to create more success and wealth and to get out of the procrastination and do things in a way that feels more comfortable to you, to do things in a way that allows you to feel like you're getting things done in a way that is comfortable to you, that feels normal to you. And, you know, sometimes getting it done is about getting out of your comfort zone and doing things in a different way. But what I mean is doing things in a feminine way that feels like it's a fit for you. It feels like you are doing things in a way that women were meant to do things, not this forced masculine, you know, push, 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 push until you burn yourself out, put yourself on the back burner, and never do any kind of self-care. Women have really, really, really been conditioned over the decades here to put themselves on the back burner and give to everyone else. And they become the thing on the bottom of the to-do list that never gets done. And I will let you know that what I have found over the years in my own journey is that the more you put yourself first and the more you take that time to nourish and nurture yourself, the more you will get done. And I know that sounds like it's hard to believe. I definitely myself had a lot of resistance to this. And part of me believed that if I took some time out to sit, either in meditation or to journal or to read or to do any of these more soft, feminine types of activities that allow you to really be in that feminine energy and in your true essence, that I would get less done or it would take away from the things that were being productive. Now, it's not to say that sitting and meditating and journaling aren't productive, but they're productive in a different way. And so a lot of times when you don't see that there are tangible results, for example, in the picture that I sent out in the radio show details for this week, you saw a picture of me hanging curtains in my office. So there's a tangible result. Every single day that I've, you know, since I've hung the curtains, I've been able to look at the curtains and go, oh my gosh, they look amazing. They have this like scalloped edge with at the bottom with a bar across the bottom. And I actually made them years ago. I really actually just transferred them from one room to another. And it's amazing how much enjoyment I've been getting out of them here in my office. But even pulling into the driveway, you know, you can see the scalloped edge from the road where, you know, it just really looks nice in the window and everything. And so when you sit down to do the more feminine activities, then you don't really see sometimes the tangible results right away. And that can usually be why the procrastination is there or the resistance is there, to sitting down and doing those things, because your conditioned self that's like, go, 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 do, 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 and I equate my value of what I've gotten done with who I am as a being. And just really continuing to get things done off of the to-do list is how you decipher at the end of the day whether that was a successful day or not. When in reality, if you were to go for a walk in nature and really get connected with yourself at the core, do some journaling, do some reading, and do some of these other things that don't necessarily have tangible results in the visible sense per se initially, that too is a productive day. But what we tend to do is to put onto the top of the to-do list those things that we can see immediate results from or instant gratification. And I myself, over the years, have been guilty of all of these things. I've really been through the gamut here. And I was raised that way. I can remember my dad talking to me about deriving his value from what he could get done. And that it took a lot of work for me to heal and reprogram that conditioning that was, you know, if I don't do something, I therefore am not valuable. And so it took years of personal development work and working with different types of mentors for me to really get on the other side and recognize that I am valuable and important no matter what. I could literally sit on the couch all day and do nothing, and I am still valuable and important, and my existence is valuable and important, and I am loved and taken care of by the universe. And really believe that at such a deep and core level is really important, so that you're not continuing to be driven by probably someone else's agenda or the desire or the need, I would say, to be valued, valuing yourself for who you are as a human being, knowing that you are important, you matter, and you make a difference just as you are without having to do. And that's really the key thing here, is that if you continue to derive your value from the doing, then the doing becomes never-ending, and you become exhausted. And this is really about you living your life on purpose. It's about living a life that is nourishing and satisfying, and that a life that you love, that you're passionate about, that you really are proud of. And that isn't just those tangible results. It isn't the bank balance. It isn't the to-do list being done. It isn't the achievements. It isn't the plaques on the walls. It isn't the certificates or the college degrees or what have you. That is not who you truly are at your essence. So before we really dive into today's call, I want to present all of this information for you, because I don't want you to go from procrastination to project completion and have burnout. That's not the purpose. The purpose is to get you out of procrastination, but also to bring in this awareness that you need to have about your value as a human being and your value as a unique human being just by being a part of this world. You were brought into this world for a purpose, for a reason, and the universe and God has a purpose and a reason for you. And there's a job that you have to do that no one else on the face of the planet can do. No one else can be you. No one else can have the impact that you have. And you truly have no idea just how impactful it is for you to say one sentence to someone that can be life-changing, and you never, ever know about it. And so know that every finite thing that you do and every finite thing that you say, it matters and it makes a difference. And so with that, we'll go ahead and get started. So the way that the problem shows up, the procrastination problem, because it's such a common problem, you know, really and truly, the way that I got to this place of being getting known in the marketplace and having a celebrity for being known as the Get It Done expert is because I did a lot of research in the marketplace. And the number one problems that entrepreneurs have is implementation and procrastination. And the reason for that I have found, that if you look at corporations that are really like billion-dollar corporations, they're making multi-million-dollar deals, they are on track. They have a project manager. They might even have several project managers. They have team meetings in person or phone conferences. There are all these different things and structures in place that these corporations have to keep them on task, to keep them on track. They have a contract, a legal contract that they've written with whoever they've contracted with to do a particular job and to do it a certain way by a particular date. So as an entrepreneur, you might not have that. As an independent contractor, you might not have that. Unless you're at the level in your business where you have team and weekly team meetings and that sort of thing, you truly are on your own. And you may have someone doing some virtual assistant work for you and that sort of thing, but unless you're really at this level of business, and honestly, I think this doesn't come after perhaps hitting the $10,000 per month level consistently, at least that's what I've found in my own personal business, is that those people don't really come on and you don't really have this level of like a company per se or a team that you're meeting with on a weekly regular basis that keeps you on track, that you might even have an online business manager or a project manager, whatever that may be. Until you get to this level, probably it's unlikely that you have those structures in place. And so what I have found to keep my clients on track as well as myself on track up until getting to this point in my business where I have the financial abundance to invest in those team members that we hop on the call, you know, once a week, we stay on track, each person has a particular task to do, and we're all collaborating and working together to continue to grow my company, that up until that point, you are the one wearing most of the hats. You are the one doing all of the different things. And as a woman in business, and you're potentially, you have a family, I mean, there's a lot of hats that you're wearing. There's household work, and there's keeping healthy and staying fit, and there's having a social life, and there's raising your children and being present for everything that they're going through, and, you know, the daily maintenance things. And then it's like, well, is your business the thing that's being put on the back burner, or is that something that's a priority for you? And how on purpose are you in your business? How on purpose are you, and how present are you to all of the other tasks at hand? So one of the ways this problem shows up is you have too much on your plate. And when women get too much on their plate, they begin to shut down, and they begin to snap at their family or those around them. They go into overwhelm. And there's a plethora of things that happen between having too much on your plate, shutting down, going into overwhelm, and literally just being completely incapable of completing any task whatsoever. What happens is women tend to begin to not feel supported, which is really what is at the root of this. I never really understood that until probably just the past maybe 9 or 10 months where I've gotten really crystal clear about just how important it is for me to feel supported in my home, in my business, and in my life. And that I'm responsible for asking for and creating and receiving that support, whatever it may look like. You know, it's really funny, in the beginning of my business, I remember listening to a bunch of different talking books, probably before I even began my business. And I remember listening to Dr. Wayne Dyer and a couple of other Hay House authors. And one of the things that I kept hearing over and over again was that they had their guru, and their guru this, and their guru that, and their mentor, and another. And I'm thinking, where do I find this mentor person? I'm like, you know, maybe I need to plan a trip to India. Like, clearly, the path of success is laden with folks who have mentors. And so it wasn't until I hired my first coach and afterwards that I really realized, oh, that's it. I have to pay for the mentor. And it was really not until I did that that I understood that investing in myself at this level was really what was going to make the difference. And if you look at the successful people in our world, we've got Olympic athletes, we've got, you know, professional athletes in the NFL and all different walks of life. And those people that are really achieving grand, and I mean grand with a capital G-R-A-N-D, success, there's one common thread. They have coaching. They have ongoing coaching. They don't stop getting coaching. They show up. They do their work. Within that coaching is a very sacred and intimate relationship as well as accountability. And what I've come to recognize within my own journey is that I, too, have had that from my mentors. And so continuously getting the mentorship and the coaching and the guidance on a weekly basis from the mentors that I work with at any given time is really what supports me to stay on track, to look at how I can better be leveraging my time and my resources, how I can launch new programs that are better serving my ideal clients. All of these different things are really critical when it comes to you creating the best and most successful life that you create. And it doesn't necessarily just mean only investing in a coach. As I've said before, leveraging your time and your resources the fastest possible way is the fastest way to grow your business and your success and to end your procrastination. At the end of the day, it's kind of like we all just need a cheerleader. You know, if you think about it, for those of you who have a cleaning person, how many of you, before the cleaning person comes, kind of straighten up and get the clutter together and get some laundry going? I know for me years ago, I liked the cleaning lady coming not just because she would clean my house, but because it would, like, give me a kick in the butt to get myself in gear and get, like, all the laundry done for the week. And it was, like, the best week of the month to me at that point in my life, because I would have – I felt like I was caught up on everything and all the laundry was done. And now certainly my current circumstances are much different than that, in that I have a personal assistant coming to my house every single day for 4 days a week now, and just continue to delegate and leverage my resources and grow my business and grow my wealth and grow my success and continue to be able to serve in bigger and bigger platforms, which is truly your purpose. It is truly what you are meant for. So it's not to say that you just start there and dive in. Now, certainly if you're at a particular financial level of income, absolutely start there. But that's not where I started. Where I started was by hiring a personal assistant for 1 hour per week. It was, you know, someone who had already been babysitting for our family and that sort of thing. So to keep yourself out of this shutdown and overwhelm, you have to get the support. You have to get the accountability. You have to be in reality with your time. So a lot of times women's relationship to time is very negative. It's very scarce. You know, people have heard about scarcity mindset when it comes to money, like there's not enough money, or I can't afford it, or this or this or this. There's plenty of things that you hear come out of people's mouths unconsciously that are literally continuing to recreate the exact circumstances that they say they want to get out of. And in the same way, you can recreate this, I don't have enough time, there's not enough time to get it done, there's more projects than there is time. And that is what helps you to feel overwhelmed and that your plate is too full. And in reality, it's not at all about having more time. It's about getting into great relationship and right relationship with your time and your calendar. And it's also about breaking a task down. So if you find yourself in overwhelm when it comes to getting things done and when it comes to there's too much to do and there's not enough time, it just means that you haven't broken things down enough. And I actually found myself going into this over the weekend this past week, and there were some additional things that were put on my plate that I was looking to do, and it really threw me. Like, those kinds of things will throw me into a tailspin. I've really gotten to the point with my coach at this point where I don't even go into tailspin anymore. It's literally like, okay, I've caught it. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm reaching out for support from the people that I need to reach out for support from. And I'm going to be able to get everything done, and I do have the ability to bend time. Time truly is an illusion. And when you are in right relationship with time and you are in right relationship with your calendar and you are prioritizing things appropriately and making time for yourself as a top priority, you will be able to see possibility. You will be able to see that you have the ability to get done everything that is in your heart's desire. And so making sure that what you have on your to-do list is something that is within your heart's desire. So often I've seen women have goals on their to-do list that are really no longer in alignment with who they are, where they are, and what they need to get done. You know, if you've put something on the back burner, it may very well be that you don't want to do that. There's no inspiration there. So it's either time to become at peace with not getting that particular item done, and throwing the goal away and not doing it, or delegating it. So I've got to tell you, like, at this point in my business and in my life, I have absolutely no desire to put laundry away. I mean, there is, like, massive resistance. I have, you know, I've got a personal assistant that I've had for a couple of years that's been doing laundry exclusively. You know, I mean, I don't do any laundry. And I'm looking at even handing off more of it. Like, normally I'll put laundry in the wash, transfer it to the dryer, and I'm looking to be, like, 100% hands off with my new personal assistant that is now here 4 days a week and that sort of thing. So it's really important for you to look at what are the tasks that you're really inspired to do. And you know what? Hey, guess what? Sometimes it is about getting your feet dirty or your hands dirty and getting some things done that you're really not motivated to do just to get it done. And it's okay to do that. Make it enjoyable. So, you know, I'm not saying like, hey, I'm never doing laundry again. It's beneath me. I'm not available for that sort of thing. If I needed to do some of the tasks that my personal assistant is now doing, I wouldn't be opposed to doing them. It's just not the best use of my time. And as I've gotten more and more honest with my time and how I spend my time, I've been able to really get clear about what is a good investment of my time. And that comes down to, like, how do I invest my time on a social element, too? It's really about you getting clear about how you're investing your time in every single area of your life. And so making it enjoyable for me personally is like, let me listen to a radio show like I'm giving you guys right now and get some laundry done. Like, that makes it fun. Let me listen to a program that I'm studying, or let me listen to a talking book, or let me put on some really awesome rocking music and let me get my boys involved in helping and pitching in and working as a team. That, to me, it makes any task much more fun. And so any task that you're kind of dreading can absolutely be made more fun. You just have to be open to creative solutions and what works for you and what would really jazz you up about it. And so there are definitely tasks that need to be done that you might not be so excited about. And your job then is to get them done anyhow, but to make it as fun as you possibly can. And honestly, your attitude about the task is 98% of the issue. So if you're like really dreading something, it comes back to your attitude about it. Again, your thoughts plus your words plus your action steps equals your reality. So if you take, you know, your words and your thoughts and then you take your action steps and you're really making something quick and or exciting, it will go that much more quickly. You will complete the task that much more quickly. So as you saw the picture of me hanging curtains in my office, this is something that I have been procrastinating about. Now, can I hire someone to do this? Yes. Do I enjoy doing it? Believe it or not, yes. But I just literally did not, it wasn't a priority in my time schedule to get these curtains switched over from one room to another. And so one weekend, we were literally, like, my boys and I were, like, stuck in the house. It was kind of hilarious and not hilarious at the same time because it was the weekend of my son's birthday. My oldest son just turned 11 a couple of weeks ago. And so there was, like, a sinking pothole in the main highway from our small town was totally closed down. And so we could get out, but, you know, we were not going to get back without sitting in hours and hours of traffic. So fortunately, I had people, you know, one person was able to pick up the cake and then, you know, another person was coming from here and that sort of thing. And we did make it to the Giant to pick up some fresh flowers for the house and that sort of thing. But in any case, I found, you know, we were at home and it was like, okay, well, we weren't going to run all these errands. So let me knock some of these things off of the to-do list. So there's an opening there. There's an opening there for you that you might have a to-do list of things that need, pardon me, to get done, and you have unexpected plans shift, and then all of a sudden you've got free time perhaps. This is probably going to be the rare case in most instances, and we'll talk about being on purpose with your time in a minute too. So that was an example of me being able to get these curtains done, and it probably took, an hour and a half, and it was fun. My kids were involved. We had cool music playing and just really had a blast together. It wasn't until after I hung those curtains that I was able to see just how much energy it freed up. And so by not getting things done and procrastinating about them, you truly do not have any clue how much energy it is zapping from you. And here's the thing. Sometimes it takes you saying no to something you really want to do. Like if you have like a juicy social invitation to do this or to do that. And it truly is about doing both if you can. But how can you schedule these things on the to-do list that are sitting and taking up this level of energy? I know that it takes up so much energy that it's in the back of your mind. You know, every single time I was in my office, which is pretty much every day, every time I was in the other room that I took the curtains from, it was in the back of my mind. It was like, you know, when am I going to move those curtains over? And it's such like on a low level that you don't even recognize it, like the little thought that's there. And it truly frees up a huge amount of energy. And guess what? I mean, it totally raised my vibration and my frequency. And you don't realize how much those kinds of things really bring your energy down. They really bring your like place of attraction down. And you might think like, well, I'm not getting results here. I'm not getting results there. I'm, you know, doing this in my business and I'm not, no new people are signing up. I don't have any new clients coming to me, or I'm stuck over here with this marketing piece or what have you. And honestly, what's going to free up the most energy is like banging out some of those to-do list things. You know, here we are, it's like about a week away from the first day of spring. People are getting spring fever. You walk into the stores, they're definitely, you know, gosh, they probably have Easter stuff out. I haven't been into any stores lately, but they have probably lots of Easter stuff out and that sort of thing, and spring cleaning, organizational things, and cleaning products at the front of the Walmart store or Target, wherever it is that you go, that sort of thing. And so really making your list of what do you need to get done, and then delegating who's going to be doing that. So maybe it's you. Maybe you're the one that's going to be getting everything done. But make that list. And have one list. Another way that women can self-sabotage is by having too many lists. You literally need one list. We've talked about this on this show many times before about doing your brain dump and having your personal on the left-hand side and your business stuff on your right-hand side. And, you know, you may have one additional list. For example, I'll be honest and transparent with you here, is I have an outdoor list. So there are specific things that need to be done outside, 90% of which will be delegated, and that's just a list that I keep. I like to keep it separate because it, to me, is separate from things that I'm doing either in my business or in my inside of my home. And so making that list and beginning to carve out at least one day per month where that is like your get-it-done day, okay? And you go to this list and you get it done, whether it's stuff that you need to get done in your business, you need to update your bios, do you need to schedule a photo shoot? Do you need to get new branding and marketing materials done? Do you need to hire a graphic artist? Do you need to get your website done? Like, whatever it is that you need to get done, and I don't recommend doing that get it done day for business and personal, you have got to separate the two. So you have one all day where you don't schedule clients, you don't schedule phone calls, you're not running around and doing errands. You're literally in your business or in your office or in your home office, and you're getting things done that is directly related to your get-it-done list for your business on that business side. And so you have to pay attention, and this is what I really recommend, is that you'd be setting 90-day goals. I would not set goals any longer than 90 days, and you've got to break them down. And your ability to have this one day get it done and one day personal get it done will allow you to, number one, get things done, but two, it's to retouch down into this is my 90-day goal in my business, this is my 90-day money goal, and where am I with that thus far? So if you think about today, getting your paper and pencil out, and while you're on this radio show or you're listening to the recording, literally make a list and have your personal on the one side and your business on the other, and start jotting down anything that might be sparking ideas for you right now, or, oh, yeah, I forgot about this, or, gosh, I've been meaning to clean out the garage, or I need to update my website, or I need to hire a social media manager, like whatever that is for you. Get it down on this piece of paper. And then you will need to also at the top of that paper write down what is your 90-day goal. What do you want to achieve by June 11th? Do you want to be making $5,000 per month consistently every single month in your business? Do you want to be making $10,000 consistently every month in your business so that by June 11th you will have made $30,000? Whatever that is for you, you need to get it down on paper. A lot of times another way that women definitely sabotage themselves is by allowing things to float around in their head. They become bigger in your head. They become more overwhelming in your head. You are not in reality unless you have it down on paper. And so really writing all of this down on paper will allow you to get clear. And number one, see if it's too much that if even one person can humanly be, it's not even humanly possible. You know, if I wrote down everything that needed to get done in my business and in my personal life, you would totally see that it's humanly impossible, which is exactly why I have as many support people in my life as I do. I couldn't possibly do this level of business and this many tasks in my own business, as well as being the program director of Gina's Divine Living Academy, and being a mom, and, you know, taking care of my health and going to the gym 4 to 5 days a week. It's not humanly possible. And so be okay with who you are and where you are, and know that when you take these steps and you continue to follow this system of leveraging your time and your resources as fast as you possibly can, by showing up and being on radio shows like this, by showing up and getting the information and not having your energy be scattered because you're on too many free calls or you're listening to too many different talking books or you're reading too many different books. You really need to hone in and be responsible for how you show up in the world and be responsible for your level of frequency and be responsible for your energy not being scattered and being on purpose and knowing why you're reading a book. And if you have a coach, it's really important for you to look to that person as your head coach. So if I'm going to go and do anything or hire another person like a VA or a social media manager or a branding expert or someone to do a photo shoot with, like, I'm going to discuss that with my head coach. That's the person that I meet with every single week that is my ongoing coach right now. And that is really, you've got to run it through the gamut. And so getting all of these things down on your paper and then calendaring in this once per month time. And if you're sitting here thinking, Rebecca, there is no way I can set aside one day per month to get it done once for my business and to get it done for my personal. And here's the deal. Like, if another opportunity comes along, this cannot be pushed to the wayside. Either you're going to reschedule it on another day. I get, like, if really juicy opportunities come along, especially with the weather getting nicer, if you're on the East Coast here in the U.S. or even in the U.K. where it's been kind of cold and dreary. You have to find another day to reschedule that to, just in the way that you would reschedule a client call, just in the way that you would reschedule a doctor's appointment or a dentist appointment. You have to get it in your calendar, and you have to be available to reschedule it. So I'm not being rigid here. That's not what this is for. It's not about, you know, you do it, and you do it this day, and you get it done, and that's it. That's really not the feminine way of getting things done, which is really what I'm all about. And it is still about getting it done. And so that's what you need to do in order to have this consistency and not get to the place where you're overwhelmed and your plate is over full and you're snapping at everyone or shutting down and, like, literally ready to stay in bed and pull the covers over your head and not do anything, and you're being less productive, and then you're beating yourself up or you're judging yourself. I mean, here's the thing that gets to happen for you. When you start seeing this list get smaller and smaller and getting it done, and you're more organized and you're getting rid of clutter in your business and in your home and all of this stuff, it really fuels your self-esteem and your self-confidence. And what happens then is that you get this momentum going forward where you're just going forward and you build this momentum. And this is really what I've been doing for the past several years, where every time more money would come in, I would delegate more, and I would leverage my time, and I would leverage my resources, and I would hire more coaches, and I would reinvest in my business and reinvest in myself. And there was never a day where I was without a coach, because that was not an option, and it's still not an option today. And so you get to decide for yourself what becomes an option and what is not an option. So make those 90-day goals. Have a purpose for your money. Know exactly what you're going to spend every single penny of that $5,000 on, or that $10,000, or whatever that number is for you. Because money needs to have a purpose. And the more specific that you can be with your goals when it comes to business and personal and all of that, the better. So you have these monthly check-ins. So this day of getting it done is a day for you to get all of these chores and these tasks done, and it'll allow you to knock things off of your to-do list, check in on your 90-day goals. And here's the other thing. You've got to break it down even further from there. You've got to do weekly time planning. And this is where you're going to really look at your week coming up. You're going to see where can you calendar in these other items, because if you're running a business, there's other items that need to be done on a weekly basis. You can't just literally say, okay, I'm going to have one get-it-done day per month, and I'm going to get all of my newsletters done, all of my blogs written, all of my – that it's just that's not realistic. Okay, so it's really about being in reality. Now, you could use that get-it-done day and have an hour for mapping out when you're going to do that. And perhaps you say, look, every Monday is blog writing day. Every Tuesday is newsletter day. Like, whatever you need to do, and assign a time to it. So getting into reality with money and with time is about you being real about how long it takes you to do something. So if you think that it's going to take you 2 hours every Monday to write blog posts for 3 weeks, or to do videos, or whatever your means of communication with your tribe is, and it really takes 3 or 4, you're already self-sabotaging. So getting really honest with yourself about your time and how much time it takes, and using your calendar literally as a diary for 1 week. And so you may have this projected, like, here's what my week is going to be. So, for example, on Fridays, I have an hour of time planning. So I sit down, I look at my upcoming schedule, I look at what I need to get done in my business, in my home, and all of these different things. And then I calendar it in for the next week in, you know, in between clients and all of these other things that may be going on. And every week is different for me. You know, I had a presentation that I did this morning at 11. You know, we've got obviously the radio show now. That's an ongoing thing, those sorts of things. So really getting it in there. But then as you go throughout your day, go into your Google Calendar, your iCalendar, whatever it is that you use. Hopefully you're not living with dinosaurs and still writing on paper. If you are, use pencil, and you can really be honest with yourself this way. I'm not judging. I'm just saying, you know, it might help you to look at doing Google Calendar or iCalendar, especially in this day and age. You know, there's the Google app for your phone, your mail app for your iPhone, if that's the way that you go. And so then what you would do for this particular week is you've got your stuff scheduled in because you did it on Friday, and you've got your stuff for the next week. And then what you would do is when Monday is actually happening, if you have on your calendar that you're going to go to the gym at 9 a.m. to 10:30 p.m., yeah, not that long, from 9 to 10:30 a.m. or from 9 to 10, or say you're going to go out for a walk, or whatever you're going to do for yourself as far as exercise and health goes that day, and you didn't get out the door until 10, and you're supposed to be back by 10, you change it in your calendar. And you make that calendar an exact representation of exactly what you did that particular day and that particular week. And then you have the ability to go back and review and say, okay, well, why didn't I get to the gym or get out to take a walk by 10 o'clock in the morning on this particular day? And maybe you track it back and you recognize, hey, I had initially planned to get up at 6. I didn't get up till 7:30. Like, whatever that may be. Really and truly, the biggest issue here, again, is that lack of structure that entrepreneurs have. Like, we have the freedom to say, I don't feel like getting up at 6. Someone who works in a corporate job, they've got to be there at 7. Guess what? They're getting up at 5:30. There is no option. So it's really important for you to get these structures in place, and the calendar is a really great way to do it for all entrepreneurs. So I'm going to go ahead and open the line up. If you're on the phone, you would press *2 to raise your hand and ask a question. And if you're on the webcast, you would just type your question right into the question and answer box, and I'll give you guys a few minutes to get in the queue. Again, if you're on the phone, press *2 to raise your hand. And on the webcast, you would just type your question into the box right there, right in the question and answer box. So I'll give you guys a few minutes to raise your hands and type your questions into the queue there. So the other thing you want to do is you want to have a deadline. So like I said, when you're setting these 90-day goals, that's what gives you a deadline. So you have by June 11th, and then you break it down, whatever it is. Are you launching a new product? Are you launching a new program? Are you needing to get a certain number of pages written if you're writing a book? Do you need to have your website done by a particular date? You know, a lot of people who are web people, they take a while to get in with, you know. So if you know, like here's an example. I know that I'm going to have a photo shoot while I'm in L.A., and I know that I'll have access to those pictures by a particular date, and I know that I need my graphic artist to make new banners and to get some graphics done with the new photos. So now is my time to say, hey, Rachel, look, put this day or this amount of hours into your calendar and reserve this for me on this exact day and time so that as soon as I get these pictures, I can get them over to her and know exactly how long it's going to take for her to complete her end of the bargain. And then I can say to my web person, you know, hey, Travis, how long will it take you to update my website, or like what do you need from me in regards? So I can be working now. I can literally calendar in my time now to know he needs 3 website references that I'm really jazzed up about, that, you know, I want my new website to look like this, or here's some ideas, or, you know, maybe Rachel needs some background ideas for the pictures and that sort of thing. So I can do my end of what I need to do to keep everyone on track to meet my goal of having my new website up and running by XYZ date. So that's just an example of how you can calendar that in and make sure that you are doing your end of the bargain and keeping your timeline on track, because really and truly it's just so easy as an entrepreneur to push it off and just say, oh, well, you know, by the end of the summer, maybe my website will be up. And then, you know, the next thing you know, you're like, well, how come I don't have any new clients, or, you know, la-da-da-da-da, whatever the case may be. So we have a question coming in from Kelly in Towson, and I will unmute your line. Hey, Kelly, how are you?
Hi, I'm actually in Ocean City. I'm not sure why I showed up Towson. It's kind of funny.
Maybe your phone. Okay.
Yeah, great call, great topics for where I am right now. I'm starting to implement all the things that I'm learning from you. And the one thing that Fridays also, I'm now taking time to like look ahead and plan, you know, look at what needs to be done. And sometimes that also means, you know, figuring out all the activities that my son's got going on and, you know, when and how the logistics of all that will work. But when it comes time to planning time for things that are all new to you, for example, like, is that something that you're going to be able to help guide me with? I don't know yet, like, how long it might take to do certain things because it's all new, as far as, you know, launching a website or even knowing what the next steps are beyond where I am now. Like, how do you plan time for things that you don't know how long the time is really going to take because it's also new to you? Does that make sense?
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm going to have you get more specific in a minute, but just for a general answer there, I would say that there's a kind of like a grace period. So when you're doing this calendaring in thing and then you're going back and you're like, hey, I didn't get up on time on this day, or you know, one of the things that became very apparent for me even 2 or 3 months ago, I wanted to get really clear about my morning routine. And so even just on a gym day for me to get up, get my gym clothes on, you know, foundation and mascara is really all I do, throw my hair in a ponytail, brush my teeth, get my green smoothie made, and get my kids out the door on the bus, journal and read and meditate the way that I want to do it, it's an hour and a half. And I really, truly, honestly, with all my heart and soul, believe that it was going to take 45 minutes.
Right.
So there's this grace period of awareness that we have.
Okay.
But now, because I have gained that knowledge, I now can calendar it in, and I can calendar it in a way that's going to empower me versus sabotaging me. So,
right.
It, you know, what specifically are you talking about what tasks are you referring to? And then we'll see if we can narrow it down for you particularly.
Well, and it is funny, just I learned that much just on the actual planning time. I penciled in originally an hour for planning time, but I'm realizing, like, because taking time to figure out how long things are going to take, or I don't know, just my logistics, I actually need like 2 hours instead of one.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, anyway, maybe I'll get more efficient at
yep.
it. But right now, you know, just it's new, the whole like scheduling in specific time to do specific things for me versus just, you know, I wake up and whatever hits me that day and responding to emails
yep.
and working very inefficiently. And so, yeah, I've realized I need 2 full hours of planning. But what I'm really specifically getting at is, like, I want to start to really move forward in, you know, whether it's creating, like actually developing the program that I'm going to be offering that's going to be, you know, my shot at this new venture, this new business that I'm launching, or even knowing what the step-by-step process is, like what foot to put in front of the other first, like what the chicken-egg thing, like I'm not even sure, you know, let alone how much time to designate to each of the things. But, you know, I hear you talking a little bit more above my head about some of the, you know, creating like a marketing plan and creating a timeline for this or, you know, the like, so I'm just, I guess I'm looking more for like, is there a, and this might just be the individual coaching times that we're going to, you know, spend more time on this. I'm not sure, but, step by step. Okay, Kelly, here's what you need to do first. And then once you've done that, then you're going to do this. And that's what I'm feeling like I need some guidance on. So it's kind of hard for me to know how much time and when
to budget,
schedule when I don't even
calendar,
know what the next
sure.
Yeah.
Yep, totally, totally.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great, great question. And what I would say to do is, you know, first of all, it is about giving yourself some grace right now. And recognizing and also honoring, like, it wasn't like I got pissed off with myself because it takes me an hour and a half. And I mean, I'm really like, what the heck, Rebecca? I mean, initially I was like, what the heck, Rebecca?
Yeah.
Like, seriously, I'm not even doing hair and makeup here.
Right.
You know, and it's like an hour and a half. Well, I mean, good grief. What if I was getting ready to go into a corporate office and had to put a business suit on and do hair and makeup and go to the gym? Like, I'd be up at, I don't know, maybe 3 a.m. Who knows?
Right.
But in any case, it's about honoring yourself. And like you said, it might not always take you 2 hours to do this, but for right now, that's where you're at. And so it's about honoring where you are in the process is step number one. Then step number two is it might look like you saying Wednesday afternoons from 12 to 4 and literally giving yourself a 4-hour window to explore some of this would be maybe what you need right now.
Okay.
And so, yes, it's important for you to create your packages, but what's more important in the very beginning of a new business is to know who you're creating those packages for. So it's really about identifying your ideal client and getting to know so much about them that they might not even know about themselves. And so that when you're speaking to them, they know, oh, my God, she's speaking directly to me.
Right.
And getting so clear about what it is that you do and the result that you provide for them and how you're different than anyone else in the marketplace within your marketing, languaging, and that sort of thing will really allow you also for people to know, hey, she's the go-to person for X.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And that's really one of the things that I've learned in my own personal business over the years. One of the things that no one really ever told me until probably last year, one of my mentors that I had some private one-on-one time with was you have to get known in the marketplace for one thing before you go broad. So what is it that you want to be known for? And so, you know, here I was last year. I mean, my business had been pretty successful and I'd been doing coaching for 2.5 years at that point. And this person was like, you know what, Rebecca, quite frankly, I think you're amazing, and I honestly don't really know what it is that you do.
Wow. Wow.
And it was, yeah, it was about me getting my messaging clear, which I'm, you know, I'm still doing. I'm still, you know, shifting some of what I'm doing to really have some congruency. I mean, I've just hired 2 new VAs that are helping me with some of this and a copywriter. and helping to have some congruency. I mean, one of the new VAs that came in was like, I don't see the link between legendary leadership and the get it done stuff that you do. And I'm like, well, people who get it done become legendary leaders. And she's like, oh, okay. Well, so there was like this missing link.
Disconnect, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sort of stuck in that place right now myself. I'm working, you know, I'm trying to figure some of that out too. So
mm-hmm.
I can appreciate that.
Well, and here's
that.
The
like,
thing. I mean,
especially
I've
when you're offering
in...
it multiple things as part of the overall thing. I guess I need to narrow it down to what is the one outcome that I may be offering people help in area A, B, C, D, but in the end, what is the outcome of that? And that's what I want to try to focus my message on.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah. Okay. And again, this is a work in progress. I mean, this is something that a lot of entrepreneurs, especially people who are really with green feet, the newer folks in the industry, they think that they're, and I thought this too. I mean, I'm not even kidding you. Like, when I had to redo my website, I was so pissed. And there was so much resistance because I was like, I'll just spend all this time and money doing this website, and it's only been 9 months, and I need to redo it again.
Right.
Like, I really, truly believed that you did your website, and you did your graphics, and you got it coded, and you that was it. You were done. Like, you never had to... You know, and so now it's like, okay, I'm in the process of redoing my website again after I get this new photo shoot taken care of.
Right.
And I'm like, it's totally cool. Like, I'm excited for it. It
yeah.
feels really aligned.
Yeah.
Like, so being open to this is such a fast-paced industry. And again, if you're really doing your own personal development work, like, I mean, I look at some of my pictures from not even 2 years ago, and I don't even, like, it doesn't even look like me. It looks so outdated to me. It looks
That's
like
wild.
I'm looking at a picture from the 1980s or something.
That's so funny. Wow.
Yeah.
That's
so
awesome.
Really, like, being in tune with your own energy and knowing where you are, but I would say the first step for a lot of people in business, and a step that a lot of people I've seen skip, is for you to get really clear about who your ideal client is. What is your ideal client checklist? What is the number one requirement that you have from your clients?
You know, what is an ideal client checklist, meaning describing the characteristics of an ideal
totally,
client?
Totally, yeah,
okay,
exactly.
Okay.
So, like,
that's
a great start. So, like, the people that I work with, they pay on time. They show up prepared for their appointments.
Okay.
They're excited and enthusiastic about doing their work. They're excited and enthusiastic, and they're appreciative of me as their coach.
I love that.
You know,
those are characteristics. I'm thinking demographics, but you're actually describing, like, the character of a person. That's probably even more important because, you know, those are critical, what you just said, those things. And I'm just thinking, like, oh, a woman in her, you know, age. And I'm thinking more demographics, but what you're
saying.
Well,
that too. I mean, that's identifying your target market and your client. But you still have a client, like, a client requirement checklist in the same way that, like, you would have a significant other requirement checklist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, a guy that I go out with, like, I'm not going out with someone who doesn't ever brush their teeth, you know, or let me
just
like something off the top of my head.
Right.
So, like,
right,
in the same way that you would say, like, my ideal husband is someone who's, you know, 6 foot with a full head of hair, and he has dark hair, and he's generous, and he's kind. Like, that's the kind of list, and that's how detailed you need to get about your client. And what will happen is that's the kind of clients you will end up attracting.
Okay. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'll start there. That's a good starting point. At least I know where to start.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely start there. And then once you get those things down on paper, what you want to do is look at where would you find these people? What do they do in their free time? Like, really get in there. Like, what do they buy at the grocery store? Where do they shop? What brands of clothing do they like? What summer activities do they do? Are they athletic? Are they not? What winter activities? Where do they travel? What types of people are they friends with? Like, the more you want to get to know your target market better than they know themselves, and you also want to listen to the words that they use. So I've got fabulous marketing words just from talking to clients, just from getting a testimonial from someone.
Wow.
And so then I can turn around and use that in my marketing and speak the client's language, because what's most personal is also what's most universal. And so
how do you get their word? How do you learn how they speak or what their words are before you have clients? Like,
go interview an ideal client.
Okay. Okay.
So
all right,
I did do some market
research interviews, but I don't. It was sort of a mishmash of. It was sort of fell within the demographic, but I don't know how.
So here's who you want to interview: someone who's genuinely considering investing in your product or service.
Okay. Okay.
Like, if they are willing to actually get their credit card out to work with you,
right.
That's
yeah.
who you want to ask.
Okay.
You know, and you can let people know, like, hey, I'm in the discovery phase. I'm doing some market research. But I also am really committed to only speaking to someone who thinks that they would potentially get their credit card out for my products and services.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Awesome. Great questions.
Thank you. Thanks for your time.
Okay. You're welcome. I will mute your line. And again, if you're on the phone and you press *2, you can raise your hand to ask a question. And if you're on the webcast, you can type your question right into the box there, and I will be happy to answer your questions in regards to getting it done. And I'm just going to go over real quick and check. For those of you who have not joined our Legendary Leadership Facebook group yet, you can go to facebook.com/groups/Legendary Leadership. And what sometimes I'll do is I'll have people put their questions in there. If they have their question, you can totally, ask your question in there if you're not going to be able to be live on the call. And I will also check over there for right now where we're at. And so next week we have Natalie Michal, who is one of Oprah's former producers. She was on last year, and she is absolutely phenomenal. You will 100,000,000% want to make sure that you are on that call and not miss it. Natalie will be answering your questions live, and she's going to be talking about branding yourself in the media and getting media exposure and all of this kind of stuff that can totally skyrocket your business overnight. It made a huge difference for me. When I was on Channel 69 News in Allentown, Pennsylvania a year ago, it really gave me that level of credibility, and it's something that you can continue to use in your marketing that allows you to brand yourself as somewhat of a celebrity. And it's really interesting to see how much people, see that, oh, you were on TV, you know, even if it was like a 5-minute news segment and that sort of thing. And so, really knowing how to take your business to the next level, and what would you even talk about to pitch to the media to even get yourself on TV to begin with, and that sort of thing. So this was a fabulous call, everyone. I'm so glad to have shared with you, and do share our link with everyone that to sign in or to sign up for the radio show. You just have to do it once. It's RebeccaMatias.com/legendary. And your friends and colleagues can sign up. You sign up one time and you get the details every single week. As you can see, we share incredibly rich content. And if you would like the replay, they're available in our Legendary Leadership Facebook group under the Files tab, as well as on iTunes. They're free podcasts you can download. And again, that's RebeccaMatias.com/legendary to send that link to your friends and have them sign up to join you live on the radio show. Thank you so much for tuning in today, everyone, and I look forward to seeing you next Tuesday at 2 with our guest expert, former Oprah producer Natalie Michal. Have a fabulous rest of the day, and we will be talking next week.